Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, two people that are not huge fans of each other. We have the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, and later a conversation with Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff. Schiff talking about his U.S. Senate race, his big fundraising numbers this week, and also his family and getting to know him. And we have some fun as well about his favorite movie, Big Lebowski, and comedy and other aspects a little bit later. But let's begin with the Speaker of the House. And a rare conversation for us, the first time we've talked with him in years. We went out to the Reagan Library to meet him for this big historic meeting where they defied China and brought together a lot of our country's top congressional leaders to meet with the president of Taiwan. First, our story about that trip, then our conversation. Here it is. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy welcomes the President of Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen, to the Reagan Library.
I believe our bond is stronger now than at any time or point in my lifetime.
We are stronger when we are together.
Tensions outside the library as pro-Chinese and pro-Taiwanese demonstrators clash. For all the divisions outside, unity inside. With 17 members of the House from both parties, including Republican Michelle Steele from Orange County, Democrat Julia Brownlee from Ventura County, and Redlands' Pete Aguilar, chair of the Democratic Caucus.
Why was it important for you to be here today?
It was important for us to have a bipartisan conversation.
Last year, when then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan, China retaliated with increased military exercises. China threatening once again a, quote, severe confrontation if this meeting happened.
What is your message to China, who's threatening retaliation for doing this today?
Well, my first message to China, there's no need for retaliation. But the one thing I would say to China, too, at no time, I am the Speaker of the House. There's no place that China's going to tell me and where I can go or who I can speak to.
Afterwards, he spoke one-on-one with us.
It's an honor to be joined by the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, on this incredible California day, right? Isn't this a nice way to show off?
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, this has been an amazing winter. I just wish California would have planned and built more storage so we could capture all this water we're going to get and not send it out to the ocean.
Yeah, okay. That's a whole other discussion. But let's start with the reason that brought you here today, a meeting with the president of Taiwan. What was your big takeaway from that meeting, and what was your main message to her?
Well, we sat down with President Tsai as she transits through America, and we brought a bipartisan group, and I think people should really note that, Republicans and Democrats together, here at the Reagan Library, and I think part of that symbolism is the ideas that Reagan fostered from freedom, democracy, and peace, and I think it's very important that when we look to the future, a lot of people bring hypothetical questions, could China invade Taiwan and others, and as policymakers, we want to make sure that day never happens. So what we talked about is how do we follow through in our six assurances? How do we provide the weapons to Taiwan to deter anybody from having war? How do we build greater economic relationships with one another and help foster that democracy and peace and freedom that Taiwan has?
You know, we saw some protesters outside here today. We know China warning that they may attack because of this in some way. Are you concerned about that at all?
No, and that's really the wrong approach for China to take. What's so unique is we have protesters on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
Could they do that in China?
Mm.
That is how strong America is and how strong our democracy is.
Right.
I would sit down with President Xi because the world would be a safer place if we communicate with one another.
And you also sat down with the leader of the Democratic Caucus, who's a fellow Californian as well.
You
know, there's a lot of folks that'll see this and think, man, they're so nice to each other on this day, and yet they're fighting so much all the rest of the time. Why can't we have more of this? Why can't we have more of that?
Well, you know what's interesting? So we've passed a number of bills in this short amount of time in Congress. 83% of them have all been bipartisan. What's unfortunate at times on television, they emphasize the differences instead of. But I think it's healthy that we have philosophical differences, but we find times to come together. And it's very unique that in this issue and the importance of this, you find us united. And I think this is so important that we were able to create a select committee on China, bipartisan,
right,
when I first came on. And I think that has fostered a stronger relationship. And as we learn to work together here, I think we'll learn to work together on other issues too.
But yet there are so many other issues that are divisive. I know you don't necessarily really want to talk about this today, but the indictment of President Trump, your reaction to that and what might happen when it comes to investigating Alvin Bragg.
This is a DA of a borough who ran and campaigned on the idea of taking Soros money that he was going to indict the president. People see what it is. In America, one of our greatest strengths is the rule of law, but the fairness of that. My fear is what's going to happen here is this is going to spiral. This claim isn't going to go anywhere, right? It can't sustain in a court of law.
We don't know that.
Well, I think you look at court cases. I think you talk to attorneys all the way. The weakness here of trying to take from election law of a personal thing and try to make it a felony. But what's going to happen is, will this spur some conservative DA in a small county in a red state to go and try to indict Biden after election? That's not America, right? Let's respect one another. Let's apply the rule of law equal to everybody. And if that was the case, this indictment would never come, especially to someone who is running for president and could be the front runner to the party. It's really showing the politics, and it's really not the finest hour here.
Since we're the California Politics Show, the biggest election next year is probably the race for Senate in California. Right now, you've got Adam Schiff, Katie Porter, and Barbara Lee. Do you have a favorite in that race?
None of those are.
Do you think there's going to be a Republican that's going to run? Are you encouraging anybody to run?
Yeah, I think it's healthy that you have ideas on both sides of the aisle. Look at this. I've been leader for 4 years, and Nancy Pelosi got elected speaker 4 years ago. We have a 5-seat majority. In those 4 years, Nancy Pelosi never won a congressional seat in California. She lost 6 Democrats in that time period. So I think California is prime to get a Republican.
She won the Senate seats, though.
Well, she was Speaker of the House. Yeah, she was only she tried to defeat 7 Republicans in the last election, and she lost. Yeah. She even gained another. So what I think really happens, especially from a place of California, you want a check and balance. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to have a voice on the other side of the aisle that can be that check and balance? I think there's a number of Republicans that can reflect the views of California, be they fiscal policy, to make our streets safer, to make our energy policy better, to make sure our borders are secure and fentanyl's not coming to kill our children. I think a Republican could win.
And lastly, you know, you obviously worked so hard to get to the job of Speaker of the House.
It wasn't easy. It took me 15 rounds.
It wasn't easy. Now you're there, though. Yeah. You won. How is it maybe different now that you're actually in the job? What's it like being in the job? And maybe what have you learned about yourself now being in the job?
You know, I feel very fortunate to have this opportunity. You know, going through 15 rounds, people don't, you know, you don't like going through it, but I think it made me stronger, actually. It made me better prepared. I think the conference is better. You've watched what we transpired since that time. I remember Babe Ruth had this line, you can never beat someone who will never give up. And I hope to California and to the nation, they'll see I'll never give up on them. Would you have thought, sitting and walking through that election, that we'd be here at the Reagan Library, Republicans and Democrats together, for the first time as a speaker, sitting down with the president of Taiwan on American soil and having a discussion, because we're forward-looking to make sure that we won't have conflict in the future. So, I mean, maybe going through that helped us come together.
So it was worth it?
Yes.
All right. Speaker, great to see you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the time.
Our thanks to the speaker and to photographer James Wolfe. After that meeting, China sanctioned the leaders of the Reagan Library for hosting. They're now essentially banned from travel and limited when it comes to business opportunities in China. Up next, a different view from Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff. He'll join us here in studio next.
Great to be with you and great to make the announcement on your show.
Congressman Adam Schiff launching his campaign here on The Issue Is in January. Since then, he's been busy raising a lot of money. In the first quarter, he raised more money than any other Senate candidate in the entire country in any race ever, with $6.5 million raised. Katie Porter with $4.5 million raised. Barbara Lee with $1.4 million raised. Congressman Adam Schiff here in our newsroom this weekend. Congressman, great to see you. Welcome back to The Issue Is.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Clearly, a lot of people must have been watching our opening show to give you all that money.
A lot of people watch every one of your shows, but particularly that one. what's so encouraging about it is that amount of support came from over 100,000 contributions, tens of thousands of people up and down the state, the vast, vast majority grassroots donors. That's a wonderful show of support. Every county in California, participate in supporting our campaign.
Of course, Katie Porter has talked about the fact that she doesn't accept any money from corporate PACs and lobbyists. What about you?
We're also not accepting support from corporate PACs. All of this money has come from individuals and non-corporate entities, and as a result...
What about lobbyists?
We haven't written off all individuals. We consulted with N Citizens United, which is sort of the gold standard. We're abiding by their requirements. But of course, there are people who represent teachers and represent cafeteria workers and others. We don't want to exclude them. But the vast majority of our support, really the overwhelming support, is coming from small dollar checks sent in by people or small dollar contributions online. People who want the economy addressed, because the economy is simply not working for millions of people. I participated in a strike, as you know, because you covered it, with LA Unified. They were paying cafeteria workers and nurse aides $25,000 a year. Mm-hmm. We need to make the economy work for everyone.
It seems like with that move and with other moves, it seems like there's a battle to see who could be the most progressive among the three of you. Is being a moderate a bad word?
I think we're all progressives in this race by any measure. The real question, I think, for voters will ultimately be who's able to make the most progress. You really can't be progressive unless you're willing to work with others to bring about a consensus, to attack homelessness, to attack public safety issues, to make sure that the economy is working for everyone. And I think the reason why, in addition to that level of financial support, now more than half of the California members of Congress, over 150 elected officials up and down the state, including Speaker Pelosi, have endorsed my campaign because they're looking for someone in the Senate that will work to bring about a consensus and actually get things done on homelessness, yeah, on affordability, and other issues.
Would you call yourself a moderate?
I would call myself a progressive. And I think if you look at our voting records as, you know, measured by sort of government rating agencies or nonprofits, we're all rated as progressive.
Is there something that you would vote for that they wouldn't vote for?
Honestly, I think you're going to have a hard time distinguishing us,
right,
on our votes. Where you are going to be able to distinguish us is I have a track record of delivering for my constituents, bringing home millions to deal with homelessness, building an early earthquake warning system throughout, yeah, California and the West. So the question is more, who's the progressive that has a record of actually getting things done and developing that kind of consensus?
All right, I want to ask you and start a series we're going to call The Four Questions, and this has nothing to do with Passover, okay? Is there four questions, quick, first thing that comes to mind when you hear it, maybe one or two word answers. What is the biggest issue domestically?
I think homelessness and the affordability of housing.
Biggest issue internationally?
The war in Ukraine and climate.
Senate committee that you would most like to serve on?
Wow. Well, I would need to think more on that. But I want to principally address these economic disparities, so the committees that would be responsible for helping to ensure the economy is delivering for all Americans.
And modern senator that you respect the most?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Doug Jones, who was defeated for his reelection, but represented a very red state, demonstrated a lot of courage.
Alabama,
both in his willingness to take on Trump in a very red state, but also his civil rights leadership in the past. John Lewis in the House, but I would point to Doug Jones in the Senate.
There's no Republican that's in the race yet. We spoke to Kevin McCarthy about that this week. He said he wasn't ready to endorse you, surprisingly. Right now, you've got Adam Schiff, Katie Porter, and Barbara Lee. Do you have a favorite in that race?
None of those are.
I think a Republican could win.
Do you think a Republican can win?
I don't think so. Certainly not a Republican, the likes of which the Republican Party in California has produced in a long time. Not because a Republican, someone registered Republican, couldn't win. I think someone registered Republican could win in California and has won in any number of elections in the past. But the party here has moved so far to the right in its embrace of the former president that they have made themselves a dinosaur, made themselves non-competitive.
So if that's true, and if it ends up being Democrat versus Democrat in the general election, what's your message to Republicans who may be the swing votes? Because a lot of them say, you're a Trump-hating liar.
That's what Kevin McCarthy says. I don't think a lot of them say that,
yeah,
except those that are listening to the most right-wing stations, an echo chamber, because that's sadly a talking point among the right wing. No, I think moderate Republicans, Republicans who are interested in actually moving the state forward, getting things done, Republicans that are interested in dealing with public safety concerns and homelessness concerns, you know, very much like Democrats, they're looking for someone that can get things done.
Let's also talk about a big headline this week, the Trump arraignment. Obviously, you have been at odds with him for a long time. For you, when you actually saw that image of him sitting in a courtroom, somewhat somber, what went through your mind?
Well, that it's a sad day for the country that a president of the United States sits at the defense table. But I do think it's also an affirmation of the principle that the rule of law needs to apply to everyone.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Congressman Schiff about his family and how they've shaped him. Stay with us. You're watching The Issuist.
None of this would be possible without her. None of it would be enjoyable without her.
That's a clip of Congressman Adam Schiff talking about his wife, Eve, on a previous edition of The Issue Is. Congressman Schiff is with us in our newsroom. Next week, we have Katie Porter coming in here to talk about her memoir, which is really a lot of the backstory of her life. And so I thought it'd be interesting to talk about the backstory of your life by talking about some of the people that have shaped you the most. So let's start with your wife, Eve. Yes, it is, Adam and Eve together. And talk about how she has changed you and maybe some of the most important lessons you've learned from her.
First of all, we met here in Los Angeles. We met on a tennis court. She had a wicked good double backhand, and I said, I've got to marry that woman. I like to say that she only went out with me as a curiosity so she could say that she dated someone named Adam.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would be hard to measure the ways that she has changed me. There are so many things that I admire and I'm grateful to her about. For her love more than anything else, and for helping raise two wonderful children. I'm really fortunate she's an incredibly strong person. You know, we've been through a lot in the last several years. You know, the attacks that you mentioned, the constant sort of MAGA extreme attacks on me personally, have also attacked my family. Mm-hmm. They've resulted in death threats. Not every spouse, I think, could cope with that.
Sure. We talked about Adam Schiff, the husband. Let's talk about Adam Schiff, the son. What's the most important thing your dad's taught you?
Wow. Well, I was just on the phone with my father today. He is 95.
Yeah.
He taught my brother and me to leave the world a better place than we inherited. He taught us the difference between right and wrong. And I remember also when I was a kid, he said something that he has no recollection of ever saying, which I thought was a wonderful thing for a father to tell a son. As I was just beginning to think about what I wanted to do with my life, he said, if you're good at what you do, there will always be a demand for you.
Mm. You talked about the fact that you're an empty nester now. You've got two kids. What's the big takeaway from them?
Well, they keep me grounded. I'll tell you a story you appreciate. I was walking with my daughter in New York, and people were stopping me on the sidewalk to say hello and take pictures. And I was in blue jeans and a canvas jacket and wearing sunglasses. I was surprised I was even getting recognized. And at some point, someone asked Alexa to hold their beer while we took a photograph. And after we did, as we're walking away, my daughter complained that she was now relegated to being the beer holder in the family. And I said, Alexa, I'm just surprised that anybody could even recognize me. Yeah. And without missing a beat, she says, well, you know, Dad, it's the pencil neck. She went right to one of Trump's insults.
Trump's lines, yeah.
And, you no, know, you're...
Only a kid can do that, right?
Your kids keep you grounded.
One of the things that he talked about with us previously is that he's actually a comedian on the side. So I've got a surprise for him from one of my favorite comedians when we come back.
This is a message for Adam Schiff, little Adam Schiff.
I love to joke around. I do an annual comedy night for my campaign where I actually do stand up. I know that's very hard to believe.
Mm.
And among my favorite films, The Big Lebowski.
That is a clip of Adam Schiff the last time he was on The Issue Is, talking about his experience as a comedian. Some people don't think of you necessarily as a stand-up comedian, but you like to do stand-up, right? And you've done some writing in the past, right?
I do. We do an annual event for my campaign this year at the Improv. And because people see me on television, it's always talking about very serious
right.
things. It's hard for them to imagine me, you know, talking comedy, being funny. And
yeah.
But I so enjoy it.
What's your routine?
Like, what's your shtick?
You know, it's pretty basic, I have to say. I will tell a few jokes. I'll do a top 10. I often write my material on the plane on the way out to California to do the event, so it's kind of a high wire act. But it goes over pretty well, I have to say.
Yeah, well, I know you met recently one of my friends, who I think may be working with you at some point on this comedy night as well. His name is Matt Friend. He does 250 impressions. And he sent me a video to play for you, a special message for the issue. So I'm going to show this to you now. You watch it here and then get your reaction.
This is a message for Adam Schiff, little Adam Schiff, who is running for the Senate seat in California. California. And a lot of people are saying Schiff is as corrupt as Alvin Braggadocious. Stormy Daniels, no hush. Even Mitch has something to say.
Listen, what you have to realize is, Mr. Schiff, if you would like to join me in the Senate, grow a few more chins, DeSantis.
So I have to say as well to Adam Schiff, you called me corrupt. You said my reaction to the Trump indictment was weak. Florida is a strong state. It's where woke goes to die, unlike California. Adam Schiff, great to see you on The Issue Is. I'm Matt Friend. All right.
That is outstanding.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right? I think you guys need to do some sort of roadshow together.
I think we do. I think we do.
Thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it. It's been 5 years since our first show this month. You were here for our very first show. And I know your favorite movie of all time is what?
It's The Big Lebowski. It is. And if I can share with you one quick anecdote. During the speakership fight, when Matt Gaetz was tearing into Kevin McCarthy, one of my staff sent me one of my favorite lines from the movie.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, Walter. You're just an asshole.
Okay, then.
Okay. We are going to end with another great line. The line. What is the line?
The dude abides.
All right.
Well, I'm hoping next year you'll be able to say the senator abides.
Okay. So we end this week with Jeff Bridges. Congressman Adam Schiff, thank you so much. Great to see you.
Great to see you.
Appreciate it. Take it away.
The dude abides.
The dude abides. The dude abides.
Thank you so much for listening to The Issue Is this week. Our thanks to Congressman Schiff and to Speaker McCarthy. Next week on The Issue Is, Congresswoman Katie Porter is going to be in studio to talk about her new memoir and her big campaign for the U.S. Senate. We look forward to that conversation. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Please like us and review us and send us notes and let us know what you think of the show. It really means a lot. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening to The Issue Is.